Today, we're going to talk about music and singing and why do we do these things? Why do we do them specifically in the church? Why do we sing? Why do we play music in the church? And the thing about music, and you guys probably already know this, but music really impacts people's lives. You know, it's a great, marvelous thing music is, and it's very influential. And music carries a message, right? Every song ever written, it carries a message. Now, some of them are good, some of them are bad, but they all carry a message. And this is why, listen, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that if you listen to non-Christian music that you're evil, that you're going to hell. Okay, but I do want to tell you that you need to evaluate the old music that you listen to, old or new. Okay, for you older people, the 60s, 70s, 80s music, need to evaluate the words. But current kids, or if you're an adult and you like to listen to current stuff, listen to the words. The words, those things all carry a message. Be careful what's filtering through your brain. How many of you have started singing an old song and then you realize what the words were? Or someone told you, I was singing Fancy the other day. You know, here's your one chance, Fancy, don't let me down. We do that in our house. Somebody hears a word, you know, you hear a word, somebody says Fancy, and one of us will just start singing a song. I started singing that, and Christy's like, do you realize what that song's about? She's like prostituting her daughter or something like that. It's a bad song. It's a catchy tune. I never had the CD or anything, but I just remember the song. But songs carry a message, and see, when words are put to music, a lot of times it gets burned in there. How many of you could hear a song on the radio, bam, right now you haven't heard it in 10 years, and you could sing it? As soon as you hear the tune, you could just start singing it. Music carries a message. Music is important. Music can be a little bit scary, okay, when you start thinking about how easily it is. That's why when kids are learning the books of the Bible, you teach them the books of the Bible to music. If you can do it in a tune, in a rhythm, they're like, oh, I got this. Okay, if you need to learn something for school, man, put it to music. Make a song out of it. You will remember it. There's something, just something awesome about music where it's just, it's very influential. But again, we got to be careful. And how many of you have ever been in a crummy mood and you're driving along in the car and you hear an upbeat song? Before you know it, you got the old foot tapping. You got the steering wheel drummer going on. Listen, I think I'm a phenomenal drummer. Like, I'm great on the steering wheel. I can play the steering wheel as good as anybody. I'll go at you with the steering wheel. Not with these. Not with the real drums. But steering wheel drumming, I can do that. But you get doing it, and before you know it, you're just singing. You know, you're singing. Your mood might be gone. Your bad mood. You're just like, man, that was awesome. An uplifting song. Good Morning by Mandisa. Listen, I'm not a huge Mandisa like fan or anything, but I can't help but get happy when I hear that song. I almost set it as my ringtone, but anytime I've ever set a song that I liked as my ringtone, I hated the song. Okay, it's not really that fun to wake up to an upbeat song for me. But you know, songs, they get to you, and other songs can do the opposite. You know, they can be a lowly song. Maybe it's a song of reminds you of a lost loved one or a former relationship, or you know, songs can bring you down. They all carry some kind of message, and even couples, you know, how many couples you guys have, this is our song? You guys, most of you, okay, just like two of us, that's probably not true. Okay, a lot of couples have a song, you at least have a song you danced to at your wedding that meant something to you, but a lot of couples, they have, you know, our song, and a lot of times, even the tune of that song, ours, Christy's song, Christy and I's song, whenever we got married was Love of a Lifetime. Who sings that? Is it Firehouse, yeah, Love of a Lifetime, that was our song. Like, I can't hear that song and not think about my wife. I can't hear the song. And now, I'm telling you, I don't know if the words are good or bad. I haven't listened to them for a long time. But when I hear that song, I think of my wife. And, you know, songs like that, they can trigger, you know, memories of intimacy or affection from maybe your early years of dating, or, you know, just reminds you of your love for that person. See, songs have a message, and others relay messages of songs of Tim BC, okay, Tim before Christ. A lot of the songs I listen to, you know, were not good songs. They have the message of anger and hate and violence. And there's songs of depression. There's songs of protest for you, those of you that listen to music in the 60s. They have songs of rebellion. But we also have songs that carry messages of hope, right? We have songs that carry messages of peace. We have songs that carry the message of love. But the whole point I'm trying to get to here is that music speaks. Okay, music inspires. Music communicates something. Every song, it communicates something. Don Campbell, this is the founder of the Institute for Music, Health, and Education, he said, "Music can communicate to us even when we're not influenced by the words of a song. Music impacts physiology on a deep, basic level." And he goes on in this article, he goes on to explain how music has a direct effect on our heartbeat. Music can have a direct effect on our brain waves. Music can have a direct effect even on the cells of our body and how they function. And so music is very, very powerful. And you know, here we are, we're in a worship service. And, you know, a lot of times when we talk about worship, we think about the music, the singing, right? That's the worship. And sometimes we call it praise and worship. But how many of you realize we can have a worship service without ever singing? We can have a worship service without singing. We can have it without music. I don't prefer it that way, but we can. It's possible. You know, music and singing is part of our worship. It's part of this adoration for Jesus. It's part of, you know, expressing how we feel and spending time with him and loving him. So technically, we could do that. But music is important to a church service. And so that's what I want to look at today is, why do we do it? Why do we have music? Why do we sing in church? And have you ever thought about that? Have any of you ever studied that before? Why we have instruments, right? There's churches that don't allow instruments. Some churches don't allow singing. I don't know why, but have you ever thought about those things? And so for some of you, maybe it's your favorite part of the service. Maybe it's what you look forward to the most. I can't wait for worship. I can't wait to sing. I can't wait to just be in that environment. And for others, you probably maybe wish we didn't do it at all, or you wish it was shorter. We've had that before. We've had people tell us, "The reason I didn't come back is the worship's too long." I'm sorry. You know, that's definitely not something that we're going to change. As a matter of fact, I'd assume that it'd be longer. But some people love it. Some people, they're not too sure about it. And so I want to look at it today. Why do we do these things? And we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. So Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray as we study your scriptures, as we look at your word with music and singing today, Lord, that you would reveal your truths to us, Lord. God, by the power of your spirit, bring truth to our hearts, Lord, and our minds. Let us see your desire for your church, your desire for what we do here and why we do it. And let us all glorify you with each and everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20 says this. It says, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this text right here comes on the heels of Paul teaching about living in purity, walking in love, about having wisdom. And he talks about all these things, and he wraps it up with this right here. Don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit, and to one another, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Lift up, you know, melody and singing in your heart to the Lord. And so he starts this with, do not be drunk with wine. Now, one, the scriptures are very clear. Drunkenness is a sin. Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. But that's not what he's actually addressing here when he says, don't be drunk with wine. He's not addressing the sin. He's addressing worship. And at this time, there's pagan worship that involved drunkenness. They believed that if we got drunk off of wine, we can get closer to our gods. We can have communion and relationship with our gods through drunkenness. How many of you, don't raise your hand. A lot of you have been drunk before. you're not really there, right? You can think a lot of things that aren't really right, okay? But this mind alteration, when they were drunk, they felt like they were one with their gods, and they were one with the devil. But this is what they did it for. They thought that, you know, these pagan ceremonies where we get drunk and we get close to our God. And Paul's saying, don't do that. That's not the answer for getting close to God. Getting close to God does not come through drunkenness. And that's what he's addressing here in this particular scripture. And he says, but be filled with the Spirit. If you want to get close to God, you don't need to get in some drunken stupor and some crazy ceremony. What you need to do is you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And he says true communion doesn't come by drunkenness, but by the Holy Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit here is not necessarily talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have that upon salvation. You believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have the indwelling of the Spirit. And it's not even referring to what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That, again, can come at salvation, but it can come at a later date and time. But what he's talking about in this context is living continually under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the influence of the Spirit should be in every area of our life. How many of you know that the Spirit of God should have an effect on every aspect of your life? He should have an influence on every aspect. Now, a lot of times we like to do the football stiff arm, you know, like you're running along and like, no, Holy Spirit, I want to get this a little bit further. Okay, but he should have an impact on every area. And this is the same as we see in other scriptures. We see walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So walking in the Spirit in this scripture is, it's the same thing as when he says being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5. And so when we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, what we're doing here is we're living under the influence of the Spirit, letting the Spirit of God lead us and guide us and tell us what we should do instead of doing what we want. But it's a continuous thing. It's not a one-time event when he says being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, and listen, if you're struggling with this and you're like, you know what, I'd really love to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And you've got to seek the Lord. It's the only way. You've got to seek the Lord. We've got to pray. We've got to fast. We've got to get in our word. We've got to spend time in personal worship. Whatever you got to do, seek the Lord, and he will fill you. It's not something you can do on your own. We can seek him, and he will do it. And I was talking with a friend. It was actually Sid I was talking to this past week. And Sid was talking to me about how what we see in the church nowadays. You see in the church today, people are coming to church, and they're not hungry. They're not hungry for God. And he's like, why is that? And if you guys know Sid, I mean, Sid's like, he's very smart, and he knows, he's like, you can't meet Sid without getting a sermon. So I'm like, I'm not sure if you're asking me why or if you're going to tell me why. And like, am I supposed to answer? So I did. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what I think, Sid, why I think people are coming to church and they're not hungry. It's because they get filled up on other things. People are getting filled up on other things, and they're already full when they come to church. And that's how it is. If you come to church and you don't have a hunger for God, think about, what did you fill that hunger with? What did you do this morning? What video games did you play, or TV show did you watch, or did you do nothing at all? Like, what are you using to fill that hunger in your life? Because if we're not hungry for God, it means that we're filling ourselves with junk. We're filling ourselves with something else. And listen, this can be from time to time. This doesn't have to be you're either hungry for God or you're not. On a day-to-day basis, you can be filling your time and your life with junk and quenching that hunger. But when God created us, I mean, I really believe that he intended for us to eat good things. You realize that? I mean, we didn't have like junk food. They didn't have junk food in the Garden of Eden. He really desired and created us to eat healthy, good food. things that are nutritional. But, you know, men, like we do with everything else, we had to corrupt it. We had to make this greasy and sugary food that tastes so amazing, right? It's so, like monkey bread. The other day, Christy made monkey bread, and I was like, surely there's monkey bread in heaven. And then I was like, no, there surely is not monkey bread in heaven, because there's not one ingredient that is good in it, right? Surely it's not in heaven. But we make these things, and they're so, so good. And, you know, you can eat all the junk food that you want, but there are consequences. There are consequences, and you may not see them at first. It may be down the road, but at some point, that junk food will start to take a negative effect on your body. It's a guarantee. It will. And, you know, we've been trying to eat more healthy, aside from the monkey bread. I'll tell you, this is how it works. My wife makes something to take somewhere else, and then my kids are like, what? Is that? That's not for us? And it's just, you got to make another one. It's my kids' fault. That's the reason we have junk food in our house. All right. But so she makes another one. But we have been trying to eat better for the last several months. We've been, you know, doing our best, okay? And when I've been eating well for a few days, okay, like no sugary stuff, cutting out soda and chocolate and all that stuff, but I'm just eating good, healthy foods, I feel a little bit better. But I'm not going to lie to you. I don't feel like tremendously better. Like, man, my life has radically been changed here. I'll tell you whenever I can tell a difference. It's when the first time that I go and I eat McDonald's. The first time I go and I eat something that's junk, I eat a piece of cake this big or something. The first time I eat something that's really, really junk, I can feel the difference. I feel like bogged down. I feel sluggish. How many of you go and listen, I like Joe's, so I'm not trying to knock Joe's, but how many of you go to like a place like Joe's for lunch sometime and all you want to do is go home and take a nap? Like, a lot of times I'll eat something for lunch that's heavy and it's just like, really the nutritional value of it is pretty low. And I feel like after lunch, I'm like, oh, I just want to take a nap for like 3 hours. You know, it makes your body sluggish. It makes you just feel weighted down, bogged down. And I think a lot of people are like that spiritually. We're bogged down and we're sluggish and we're just like, oh, I don't feel like doing anything. We need to examine our spiritual diet. We need to examine our spiritual diet. And, you know, I think it's similar to eating well. How many of you know that it can be a very hard time changing your diet, right? Get fit fast fads. Listen, these don't work. It's only temporary results. The things that work is changing your diet permanently, okay? You can't just cut out carbs for the next 12 weeks, drop 40 pounds, and then go back to eating what you want. It will not work. You'll shoot back up. You'll balloon back up. It has to be a life change. And it's the same thing with us spiritually. You know, sometimes it can be hard to, every day I'm going to read my word. Every day I'm going to pray. Every day I'm going to spend time alone with the Lord. Every day I'm going to do this and do that. It can be really hard to do those things, just like it can with a diet. You know what? Maybe you need to start little. Take a little chunk. I'm going to change this. I'm going to shut out this one area of my life. I'm going to quit playing video games when I first wake up, and instead I'm going to spend that with God. You know, sometimes we so radically try to change our lives. I'm going to do nothing except spend time with God. Like nothing. And then we fail. It's impossible. We can't do it. Maybe start with little changes. And we'll see that effect in our lives. And then you might do that and you might be like, I don't feel like my life is radically different. I don't feel like my life is so amazing and so wonderful. You know what? I don't when I eat healthy either. It's a gradual thing. But I can tell the very next time that I eat junk food. And you know what? You start spending that time with God and you start getting closer to Him. You'll be able to tell that very next time when you're weak, when you're falling away, whenever you're having that moment where you're like, I'm just going to play this game instead. And you're going to have conviction. You're going to be like, it's not as good as when I spend that time with the Lord. Okay, sometimes it's a process, but we need to stop with this feeding ourselves with junk of the world and examine our diet. What are we filling up on? The things of the world and we need to be filled with the Spirit. And I am getting to songs and or to singing and music right here in verse 19. After you're filled with the Spirit, Paul tells us, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to who? What does it say? One another. Speaking to one another. This is a public thing. He's not speaking of something in private right here. Paul's not. It's a public thing. Speaking to one another. It's a corporate thing. It sounds to me like church. We're supposed to be doing this to one another, with one another. When you're filled with the Spirit, out of that should come psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing together, like in church. And in Psalm 22:22, we're told, I will declare your name to my brethren, and in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. It's in the midst of the assembly. Listen, we need to praise God in the midst of other people. We need to be with other believers and lift up God and talk about how great he is. We need to sing about what he's done, about how amazing he is. We need to do this in the midst of the assembly. We need to do it with other believers. You know, we have music and singing in church. You know, we have this because this is what people that are filled with the Spirit of God desire to do. It's not just a part of service. It's not just a formality. It's what people of God should desire to do. It's what we should want to do. It should be our desire. If it's not your desire to sing to the Lord, listen, you need to examine your diet. You need to examine your diet and you need to examine your walk with the Lord, because just because of who he is, it should be the desire within us to sing praises to him. Amen. Psalms, just to give you a little taste of what the Greek words mean. By psalms, it means a striking or twanging, like striking the chords of a musical instrument. Hymns is a song paying praise to God. Spiritual songs are a song belonging to the Spirit or by the breath of the Spirit. Now, those can be a little confusing. So more practically, you know, psalms are these scriptural lyrics in a song, just like you see in the book of Psalms. They're scriptural lyrics put to music, put to instruments. Hymns are songs that are humanly inspired lyrically. Again, in song, put to music. Spiritual songs, on the other hand, are impromptu rhythmic lyrics given by the Holy Spirit. And these can be in one's language or they can be in other tongues. But these are promptings of the Spirit. Okay, so these are the three different kinds of songs that we're talking about. And we sing all of these in this church. We do. We sing psalms. Some of these songs that we sing, if you really, really break it down, it's scripture. It may not be word for word exactly as you read it in the Bible, but holy, the last song that we are singing, that's all scripture. It's out of Revelation. And I tell you what, like some of the stuff that Gwen said, the songs that we sang, like line up exactly with the scriptures that I'm sharing today. It's amazing how God works like that in unity. But we sing psalms. We have these songs that are scriptural lyrics. And when we put those things to music, how easy are they to remember? You know, we need to do that. We need to meditate on those. And we do hymns. We sing hymns. We sing other songs that they're not scripture. They're just songs that people wrote, but they're good. They're about God. They're glorifying him. They're edifying the body. And we sing those, and we sing spiritual songs. Okay? How many of you know that in worship, you don't have to sing the songs that are on the screen? Okay? Sometimes we can sing spiritual songs and we're told sometimes we just need to sing a new song. You just need a song to the Lord. It's about singing what's on your heart. And if you don't have something specific like that, man, it's fine to sing the words up there too. You don't have to be the other way. It's not like, well, that person's not singing the words. Don't worry about it. If you want to sing the words, sing the words. But you don't have to. They don't have to. But it's about singing. It's about what comes from the heart. It's about singing to the Lord and making your love for him known. And so a gathering of people who are filled with the Spirit of God, we should bring forth those songs. We should bring forth all those types of songs. And he goes on to tell us here that we need to be singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. You know what singing means in Greek? Singing. Yeah, we need to sing. That's exactly what it means. Making melody means to pluck a stringed instrument. Okay, right there tells us we need to sing in church and we need to play music in church, at least guitar. Okay, sorry, Cheryl, we don't need you after service, only guitar. That's biblical. No, it's not biblical. In this context, though, it tells us that singing is required. I mean, it's a part of church. It's part of that worship and part of, making the Lord, making known to him how we feel about him. And so singing and making melody, we should be able to play music from our hearts to the Lord. It's from our heart. And you can tell that by what we have up here on the stage, whether it's Jason or Dylan leading or Liz or TJ or anybody that we have leading here. You can tell that when they're leading and they're singing, that that's coming from their heart. Listen, I don't care how gifted a musician is in the community, wants to know if he can play up here. Let me know what's in your heart. It's about the heart that we have for the Lord. Now, praise God, we have been blessed incredibly that we have people with a heart for the Lord who also have talent and skills. All right, Craig, me and you don't have to get up here and cover worship next week. Praise the Lord. That would be rough for you guys. It'd be fine for me. All right, but you know, we've been blessed in that area, and we should be playing from our hearts. God doesn't want to just hear this beautiful music. That's not all that he desires. What he really desires is, what's your heart? I want to know what your heart is for me. I want to know how you really feel, how you want to tell me, what you want to tell me. And so Jesus is the source and the object of a song-filled heart. You ever realize that? It's because of him that we even have a song to sing. It's because of him that we should have this passion, this desire. But then he's also the object. He's the one that we're singing to, right? Now, listen, with worship, I'm a little bit funny. I don't like just singing songs about God. And they're okay. I'm not saying that we don't do that. But if you're only singing a song about God, it is not doing any good. It also has to be to him, all right? If you're singing about him and you're singing it to him, then that's good, okay? Because we're here to glorify Jesus. We're here to sing and lift him up, not anybody else, not just, man, that's a good song. I really like that song. Well, I don't care if you like that song. Like, are you singing it to the Lord? Like, are you making that your announcement of, Lord, this is how I feel about you. This is what you mean to me. Because he wants it from our heart. He's the reason that we sing and the one that we're singing to. And so we don't play music and sing music to get something from Jesus either. Okay, I've heard that a lot in church throughout my life, especially going other places. I've heard this. You know, we don't enter into worship so that God will do something. That's not the point of worship. It's not so that God will do something. We do it for him, all right? It's all for him. And so where do we see this in the Bible? The singing, the music, all over the place. For starters, you can read through Psalms, the longest book in the Bible. It's scriptural songs. That's all it is. But then we see Jesus in the New Testament even. We see him and the disciples, Matthew 26, verse 30. Says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. They had sung a hymn. This is Jesus and the disciples. And the thing is, right here, this is right after Passover, okay? So they're having this meal together. Passover, Jesus had just instituted communion for the first time. And before they go to the garden to pray, they decide they're singing a hymn. They're going to sing a song, right? A hymn is a song with human-inspired lyrics, right? They weren't even singing scripture. They're like, we're singing a hymn. We're going to sing a song to God with whatever words that somebody came up with. But they shared a meal, They took communion. I'm certain there was teaching there, right? Jesus has these guys in a room together. You know they're not getting out of there without a teaching. And now they're heading to pray, but first they decide to sing a song. That sounds a lot like church to me. How about you? Fellowship, eating, singing, praying, teaching. Sounds like church. It's important to sing these songs to the Lord in the assembly of other people. You know, this sounds just like church, and singing was a part of it. Acts 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas, they're in prison. How many of you think that you'd sing songs if you were in prison? Maybe, maybe not. Depends on the day. Depends on what's happened recently. Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They're singing songs. They're praying. This is in spite of their circumstances. I mean, you know how it is. You've seen, for the couple of you that haven't been in jail or in prison, you see it on TV, and you know that you see like long rows of bars, and the people are jawing at each other. You know what I'm talking about, a couple of you that haven't been there. But you can hear everything, right? It's wide open. You're just separated by bars, and if you're on the Andy Griffith Show, I mean, there's even the bars in between. Like, you got no privacy, right? But people can hear everything, and yet it says that Paul and Silas, they were praying, and they were singing songs. They're singing songs to God in prison at midnight, right? The other prisoners are probably like, dude, I'm trying to sleep over here. And they're like, no, I'm singing songs. And so I don't know, prison church, I suppose. You know, I mean, it's right in the midst of everybody. This wasn't just two guys in their cell, like, we'll sing songs in private. No, they were probably belting it out and everybody could hear. This is like Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They're like, hey, we're in prison, but we're going to have prison church. Prison ministry, here it is. You know, it's a public setting. They're singing to the Lord. In Revelation, there are about 27 times that we see singing. And some of those, you know, right what we sang today. Some of those they show us the throne room of heaven. You know, a glimpse of the throne room of heaven. And all in attendance. People, angels, everybody singing to the Lord. Man, we see heavenly church. We see church in heaven. If you don't like singing on earth, I've heard it said before, if you don't like singing on earth, you're not going to like heaven. It's all we're going to do. Sing praises to the Lord. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's all we're going to do, because I've got a couple questions for Jesus. I'm hoping I can at least get him in there. Like, I've been wondering about this. Can you clear this up for me? But people in heaven singing, heavenly church. And so there's a connection between music and the supernatural. There's a connection here. And in the Old Testament, we see the book of Joshua. You know, the trumpets are sounded, and what? The walls fall down. When the trumpets are sounded, okay? We see in 1 Samuel, we see David. Again, I shared this a few weeks ago. He plays the harp, right? And he's playing the harp to do what? To soothe Saul while Saul is having these demonic attacks, playing of the harp. It's David. They're probably songs to the Lord, right? He's playing the harp. And Saul and his demons, his demonic attacks are soothed. And David would go on to write about half the book of Psalms. The Old Testament is loaded with singing and with music. But I want to look specifically at one instance here. We're going to look at the Old Testament in the temple, which you could call Old Testament church in the temple. What happened when they played music and they sang to the Lord. So if you could pull up 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 12 to 14 said, and the Levites who were the singers, and all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar. So here are the singers. They stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen. They had cymbals, stringed instruments, harps. And with them, 120 priests sounding the trumpets. Cheryl, I think you're back in. We got enough instruments that we can bring piano back in. All right. But it says in verse 13, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeteers and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that at this time the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Man, let's have church like that. This is when all the singers and all the musicians, they get on the same page. They're all playing the same thing. They're all, now listen, this is what they're doing. Do you think they're playing the exact same everything? No, they were doing the same thing. They were all worshiping the Lord. They were all playing together as one for the Lord, not for themselves. Listen, if there's, the way I read this, if there's somebody who is not in unity right there, they're probably, get out of here, right? Get out of here or get on online. Because they were all going for the Lord. We see they had cymbals, they had stringed instruments, they had harps, they had trumpets, and not just trumpets, but 120 of them. I don't know if I could handle 120 trumpets in here. This is a little more open, what they were looking at. And verse 13 says, when they were as one, when they were united in their singing, united in their music, playing from a heart of worship, his presence filled the place. Man, that is what I long for in a worship service. The presence of God filling the place to where the ministers can't even minister. You know why? Because God was ministering to them. He was ministering to every person there, including the ministers, to the point where not only could they not minister, it wasn't even necessary. It wasn't needed because the God was there. And so when we sing and we play music to the Lord, he loves it. He loves it. We see it right here. They're playing it and he's like, "I'm coming. I'm filling that place." He loves it and he wants to be in the presence of those that have a heart for him. Church, this has got to be our desire. This has got to be our desire when we sing and we play music to the Lord, is that we please him and that his presence will fill this place. Just wipe us out, okay? That's what our desire needs to be. This is why we sing and play music in the church. It's for Jesus. It's because we want him to come and just fill this place with his presence, because that's our desire, is to please him, invite the Spirit of God to invade us. And so remember, music communicates. Music always communicates something. And when we're playing and singing for Jesus together as one body, we're communicating something to him. We're saying, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I desire your presence. I need you in this place." Man, is that what we're communicating when we come together? I hope so. That's what it should be. 2 Corinthians 3:17. "Now the Lord is spirit, and where the Lord, the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom," or liberty. Exactly what we were singing earlier. Man, this is what they were experiencing here in the temple. The spirit of the Lord filled the place. And we know that when the spirit of the Lord is here, there is freedom. So again, remember, Jesus is the reason we sing, but he's also who we're singing to. And when we sing to him, his presence, the Spirit, will fill this room and we can experience freedom. How many of you desire freedom in any area, any aspect of your life? Desire freedom from sin? About freedom from fear? About freedom from doubt? About freedom from your circumstances, freedom from your failures, on and on and on. Everybody desires freedom. It's what I love about our name, our church name, Freedom Reigns in Christ Church. The reason I love that word freedom is because everybody can relate to desiring freedom. Now, maybe they don't understand the rest of the name. They don't know what it means, but that first word is freedom, and people are like, "I want that. I will take freedom, please. Can I have a double portion?" Right? I would. Have you ever found your place, yourself in, you know, a place of despair, or you just feel beat down, and we enter into worship and just all of a sudden just a peace comes over you? You know what that is? That's the Spirit of God, his comfort, his peace. Because when we lift up his name, when we worship Jesus and his Spirit fills this place, the Spirit of the Lord brings freedom to our lives. And so that life of despair and confusion and being upset and all these things, God can take that and he can bring freedom from that and say, here's peace, here's comfort. It may not solve the situation, but that's not what you need. You need peace, you need comfort, you need freedom from what you're going through. How many of you have ever been in church and you just feel kind of blah? Like you're not really even sure what's wrong. Like you're not sure if there's something wrong with you or if you just ate too much bacon this morning. I know who the bacon eaters are. It's like three of us. All right. Sometimes you just feel like that. You're like, I don't really know what's wrong with me. I'm not sure what's going on. And you enter into a place of worship and you just find yourself on your knees weeping. And you're like, I was not expecting this. I really thought I just ate too much bacon. Like, here you are. You're just before the Lord, arms wide open, weeping, breaking down. Man, that could be a number of things. It depends on your situation. It could be the conviction of the Spirit of God. That's freedom. It's freedom of sin. You could be the truth of the Spirit revealing God's goodness to you. This happens to me all the time. Listen, I'm telling you, as your pastor, sometimes I forget how good God is. You know, I start to look at what I'm dealing with and I'm frustrated or I don't want to deal with this or whatever it is. And sometimes God just reminds you, he's kind of like, hey, I'm good. Like, you need to remember how good I am. You need to remember and have trust in me. And sometimes God's just revealing his goodness to you. And that can bring you to a place of weeping where you're like, I forgot how good you are, God. I forgot how much you love me. I forgot what you've, not only what you have done for me, but the promises that you have for the rest of my life. Man, that can bring a person to tears, but that's freedom. That's freedom. And so we can have that in worship. And, you know, these things are found in a place of freedom. And so when we worship the Lord with our music and with our singing from our heart, you know, it puts us in a place of surrender. That's what lifting hands is for. If you don't get that, you can lift hands for a number of reasons, but one of those is surrender. You know, just like when the cops come, like, put your hands up. Surrender. That's how we are in worship sometimes. It's like, I'm all yours, Lord. Have your way. Like, I'm sorry for what I did. I didn't mean it. You know, it's surrender sometimes. And when we're in a place of freedom, man, we find that freedom to surrender even. And when we do that, we're open for the Lord to minister to us. I want to be clear. This right here, this freedom that comes, this is not a result of your singing. It's not a result of the music. Because those are things that we are doing. Okay? Your actions don't bring freedom. It's his presence that brings freedom. Our singing, our music can bring in the presence of the Lord. And where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay, so it's not an act that you're doing. You're not getting freedom. It's all about the presence of the Lord. And I know some of you are really reluctant to sing because you don't think you have a very good voice. Okay, I'm telling you right now, I have to sound just terrible. I still can't hear very good. And it, like, it's messing with me speaking even a little bit. But I know that I probably don't sound good. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you're a good singer. It doesn't matter if you're a good singer. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we have a reason to sing? Do we have a reason to sing? Because if we truly love the Lord, right? If we truly love Jesus, our voices, no matter what we think of them, man, they're the sweetest musical instruments known to heaven. Is the voice of the children of God. And in Colossians 3:16, we're told, Paul again says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And you see right here in this verse, it kind of goes along with the Ephesians chapter 5. But when we sing, you see right here, we're obeying the Lord. we're doing what he desires of us. But you get rooted in the word. You can build up others. And something awesome about singing is, you know what else singing does? A singing heart makes spiritual war with the enemy. Man, a singing heart makes spiritual war with the enemy. And Paul talks about in this, in Colossians chapter 3 at the beginning, he talks about a new life. He talks about death to sin. He talks about how the new man sings with grace in his heart to the Lord. Man, if you find yourself surrounded by temptation, you find yourself just in despair, sing. Sing to the Lord. How many of you have ever heard that before? You know, if I'm in situations that I know are not good for me, I put on worship music. It's one of the greatest things about having a phone that you can play music on. At any point in time, worship music's that far away. And I'm like, sometimes I just need to put it on and just relax. I need to chill out. Sing to the Lord, because you know what? When you're singing worship songs, when you're lifting up the name of the Lord, listen, it's really hard to lie. It's really hard to cheat and steal. It's really hard to look at something that maybe you shouldn't be looking at when you're singing to Jesus, right? Use worship. Use it as a tool. Like, you're not using God if you use worship as a tool to abstain from sin, okay? You're using God because he's there for you. And when we lift him up and we exalt him, his presence comes. And you know where that sin has to go? It has to flee. It has to go. And so a singing heart will not easily give in to temptation, but instead it wages war with the workings of Satan and with the power of sin. And so above all else, everything that I've shared today about singing and about worshiping, when we sing from our heart, we glorify Jesus. Listen, when you sing from your heart, you glorify Jesus. You know, that is our ultimate purpose. Like, that's what we're here for. I don't mean here in this church. That's what we're here on this earth for. And we're fulfilling that ultimate purpose when we sing to the Lord. It's to him that we sing. It's about him that we sing. And you know, singing has a unique way of bringing your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength all together to focus completely on God. Focus completely on him. You know, in an age of distractions, we have distractions everywhere, all around us. You might have one sitting right next to you. And singing grabs the intentions, or the attention of our senses. Singing will grab the attention of our senses and our focuses and lets us apply that straight to God. And in Revelation chapter 7, John describes, again, this glimpse of eternity. And he talks about how he sees this multitude of people from every tribe, people, language. They're singing before the Lamb, and they're singing, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." These are the things that they're singing in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the one who was and is to come. Man, eternity waits. You realize we have a risen Lord, who's seated on the throne in heaven, in power and in glory, and it's to him, the Lamb who was slain so that we could be saved. It's to him that we ought to sing. It's to him that we ought to lift our voices and out of the depths of our hearts, sing to the King. So I want to ask you to stand, and we are going to go back into worship this morning. And listen, I want to tell you today, if you want freedom in your life, whatever the area is, I want you to sing. I want you to sing. I want you to dance. I want you to lift your hands. Whatever it is that you need to do. But we're going to go back into worship here. And man, we're going to sing to the King because he is worthy. And I believe that we can have a move of the Spirit just like they did back in 1 Chronicles, where we see they come together in worship. They come together in their singing and in their music. And the Spirit of the Lord fills the place. Listen, I will totally pass up a potluck meal for a sanctuary that's full of the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what we're going to pursue. That's what we're going to seek. And pray for God to come. Pray that that's what we have. We may not ever get to the potluck. That's okay. We can heat it up later. Amen? All right, sing to the Lord. Shout praises. You can sing in hymns. You can sing in psalms. You can sing in spiritual songs. You can get out of your comfort zone. You can go to whatever corner you want. You can do whatever you want. This isn't about your husband or wife or your neighbor. This is about Jesus. Let's sing to the King.